It's Mark Husson's Astrology Hour. Time for you to expect something wonderful.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome. This is Mark Husson, and this is Mark Husson's Astrology Hour coming to you live at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. on the East Coast. How are you? It's good to see you. It's good to be here with you. It is Monday, May 12th. That means it's a full moon. I think you've heard about it. Erica did a beautiful job talking about it. She's so good. Love having her show before mine. She sets a great tone. She did readings. She addressed for every sign some of the core issues of having a Scorpio full moon in the sky. I hope you were feeling it. It's part of a lot of other things that are happening. So if you aren't feeling the typical Scorpionic kind of energies, which we'll talk about, then maybe there's a good reason for it. I'm sure there is. So come on in. Welcome. If you can come to the live stream, I'm up there and I will be greeting you. Hi, Shelly and Lynn, and thanks for coming. Melissa, thanks for being here. Sahar's in the house. Thanks, Sahar, for coming. Suzanne, thank you guys all so much for coming. Also, if you're looking into being a part of us and just like the old-fashioned way of being part of the Facebook page, you can go on over to 12radio.com, click the link on the left-hand side that says chat, pop into the room, you will see us in there, and you'll see my banner, and you can post in there, and I'll definitely come in and greet you and say hi to you as well. Thank you all so much for showing Renee and Penny and Anne. Thanks, you guys. I'm definitely going to check your comments out. I have you on my lower screen down here, so I look down to get it. But it's so happy to be connected to you. And thank you so much for showing up to the party. Cosmic MC, thanks for coming. Quelly's in the house. Oh, my gosh, you guys are great. Thanks again for being here. I will definitely interact with the chat room, especially up there on YouTube. So thanks for finding me. I think it's important that we so today's the 12th, so let me get some of the things off my mind that happened on the 12th. One is, it's 1-2 day. Anytime you hear the number 12, you think of us, hopefully. It's 1-2 radio day. It's 1-2 listen day. This is the day when all the prices are computerized to go random. So if you could go to, if you want to talk to somebody, especially on a Scorpio full moon, which is all about introspection and insight, this might be the day to do it, because they're going to be supercharged as well, the advisors at 1-2. These people are picked, hand-picked. For those of you that are new and listening to the show, we're going on, I think it's over 17 years now. It's 17 years, and we've been taking calls and advising people and have screened people. We haven't hired anyone new except for Sahar. So Sahar, you know, that says a lot about her. We don't hire new people. It's very difficult to get in, be a part of it. It's just the way it is. These advisors have been here for a long, long time. Erica's certainly a part of them that you just heard. Their job is to basically be there for you, and to be there for you with integrity and love and support, and use whatever gifts they've developed to guide you on your path, whatever you need. So you can do it through chat. You can do it through a phone call. They even have video chat. Some of them are open to doing. A lot of them don't like the video chat. I understand. I mean, it's hard enough to get to bust through to the YouTube thing, which is happening though, you guys. We have new people and new faces going to be appearing on the YouTube channel. So we're excited about that. Serena has been instrumental in training people and getting the page up. It's 1-2 Family Advisors. So if you go to YouTube and just search 1-2 Family Advisors, it's all one word. We had to really come up with something different and sort of focused, and that'll take you there to the welcome page. You'll see us. You can sign up and subscribe and not miss any shows that get put up, because this show also gets put up there as well. So that's the news. Thank you for being a part of that. Let's dive into Scorpio a little bit and see what's happening. Also, I definitely want to just take a closer look at the chat room before I get started, so I don't interrupt my train of thought. So let's see. Karen's in the house. Renee, I see. If I shout out twice, it's okay. You guys know what I'm doing. D, great Mondays to everybody. Arlene, thank you. Inga's in the house. Truly's in the house. She said, big wins last night in Reno, Tahoe area. Feeling that full moon. Yes. Hey, Gypsy, welcome. Tara, thank you for coming. Okay, you guys. So basically, this is, let's talk a little bit about what happens on a full moon. So I'll bring the chart up here so we can see. There we go. Hopefully you can see this and sort of get a feel for what is happening. This moon is essentially, yeah, it's funny. I'm trying to see if my mouse shows up there, and it doesn't, but we're going to make it just full screen. Okay, so up here, I'm circling in the 11 o'clock position. There's a circle with a dot in it, and it's next to something that looks like an antenna. And that is the Uranus and Sun being very close together. So the Sun in the sky is in Taurus, right? And now I'm talking with my hands, so I'm going to bring my myself back into this. The Sun and the Moon is in Taurus, and so the Sun's in Taurus, and now the Moon is opposite Taurus. It's in the here. There we go. So we have the Moon over here, the Sun over here, and my camera wants to read my sign. My watch. My camera wants to read my symbols. So if I do this, the camera shifts and does something like that. And so if it moves around, it's just because it's reading hand gestures. So here's the Moon. Here's the Sun. And they're opposite. And who are we? We're in the middle looking. And we see that the Moon is big and fat and wide and pretty and beautiful. And that is the light of the Sun shining on the Moon. Metaphor, it's at its most bright, brilliant reflection. The Moon is at its most brilliant reflection of the Sun. The Sun metaphor is us. The Sun metaphor is us projecting out. The Sun metaphor is our identity, how we want to be seen, who we identify with inside. And the Moon is our needs and the emotional nature of who we are. The Sun is shining brightly on the Moon, and we look up to see that this lunar instinctual nature is now activated fully inside of us. The lunar nature of Scorpio, because it's in the constellation of Scorpio. So if we run over to your chart and we want to see if we want to see where that action is taking place, you look in your chart and you have, I guess I'll bring the big one up again. If you look at that 9 o'clock position, it says there's a 69 there. Your chart has a similar sign on that 9 o'clock position. And that kicks everything off. It's based on time. This little area right here. Oh, I can see. Yeah, that's right. I guess the mouse doesn't show up when I'm doing that. So it's the 9 o'clock position. You can see it. Now, so your chart has a Scorpio house. And Scorpio here in this chart, it's at the, this is the 5 o'clock position. There's an M with a tail sticking up on the outside. And that's what you would look for, the M with the tail. Because that's where the Moon will be activated in your chart. Now, all that means basically is this area of our lives is totally being taken over, being overrun. And it's being illuminated in the sense of your needs are high, like you know what they are. Your desires are high, you know what they are. The way you want to, the way you feel deep is high. And you know what else gets high? All the Scorpio things. The paranoia, the looking below the surface. And we'll talk about why that exists. It's not just paranoia for paranoia's sake. Every Scorpio and Scorpio moon and Scorpio rising person knows this already. And anybody with a strong Pluto in their chart, that there are crevices that need to be explored because they exist and we have to look for them. And that's what a Scorpio knows. So when this gets activated in your chart, the crevices have to be explored. You want to look deep into whatever house it's in. And I'm going to go through the houses with you. We'll talk about where that shows up for you. So if it is, in fact, touching a personal part of yours, like Lynn says, it's the moon is almost exact her sun in Scorpio. So her, who she is now fully in touch with the emotional sense of herself and her identity. Now, what that means as a person walking, because we've all had the moon on our suns. It's not like we walk around and suddenly have this new insight. But it does mean that there's an ability, if we tune in a little bit, there's an ability to recognize what, like, to interpret things pretty quickly about what's going on with us. Like, we can translate that information. And if you use it to translate information, so that's why, and Erica said a very profound thing. And I give her kudos for knowing this. This is the time to heal your wounds. This is the time to say, what was that? What was the source of that pain? What was it? Now, it's not saying you shouldn't have wounds. It's not saying you have to get rid of them. It's saying, again, the observer says, what is the source of the wound? And what's going on there? Like, what's going on there? Now, nothing is asking you to fix it. Nothing is asking you to take action. It's simply look. And that's the difference between the Scorpio and most any other sign. When there's something scary going on in the house, you know that story I always tell. There's a noise downstairs. Everyone's like under the covers going, okay, wait. Scorpio got the bat and they go after it. Because why? Are they fearless? No, they're terrified. But you know what in the Scorpio knows? That terror is worse not knowing than knowing. And that's called observation. That's called confronting the fear. It's a knee-jerk reaction. But that's why you see Scorpios who look fearless because I'm like running. Scorpios are like, I need to know. I got to find out. I got to uncover the secret. Where that moon lands in your house, in your personal life, there's something you want to uncover, but it's not like this deep, profound secret. It's like there's something you want to look at directly. Like it's finally having the adult in the room with the kid and go, come on, let's go look under the bed. Let's take a look. If what you find is terrifying, or if it's disgusting, or if it's blah, 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 whatever it is, you're not being asked to do anything about it. You're being asked to look. And that is really tough for most of us to do. Because I have a secret of living that I think is not really a secret. It's the observer. Allowing the observer to see and not take action is one of the greatest gifts we can give ourselves. Because guess what? The pressure's off. There's no solution you have to do. You simply need to know. Let me look. And if you're flooded with, oh my God, get rid of that. Oh my God, what happened? All that's noise. It's just noise. It's just thoughts. Your thoughts don't want you to act on them either. And thus begins the healing of Scorpio. Just looking. Who am I? What am I doing? How am I feeling? Have y'all ever played with pot? And this isn't a drug show. I can't do pot. It messes me up. But here's why I can't do it. Because if you've ever tried it, there's a moment where looking at the self can be very, very painful because you don't exactly know what to do. And it's overwhelming. And it's like, wait a minute, am I that? And you're looking at your life in a microscope with a microscopic vision of yourself. And sometimes it's pretty horrifying. And that's why I don't like it. I don't think it's a secret passage to a part of me that I'm not looking at. I think it's just an enhancement that made me over-focus on something. And for some people it's different and that's fine. My point is when we look at parts of ourselves for the first time, have you ever just woken up and going, oh God, I had an insight about how I was acting at that party and I'm so embarrassed. Or did I really say that? Was I being insensitive? Those kind of things. So I have some advice there. Review is a wonderful thing. But your first reaction must be, and I'm sort of putting a should on here because I really think it's helpful, is observe without action. Grab the hand of the part of you that's having the insight and say, okay, let's look at this, breathe. Okay, was it like, I think I was embarrassed I said that. And then like, stay with it. Just stay with it. Don't undo it. Don't call. Don't do anything. Just stay with it and see if you can bring forward, okay, the voice of loving support that says it's okay. It happens. Settle down. Take it easy, right? See if you can bring that voice in to sort of just observe. Like, it happened already. What are you going to undo? How are you going to undo it? And things get misconstrued a lot. It's okay, especially in Scorpio world. How many Scorpios do you know that just can't let go of whatever they believe? How many Aquarians do you know that do the same? How many Tauruses? How many Leos? They get a thing in their mind, that's it, that's the decision. How many of you do that and you're not any of those fixed signs? Those are all the fixed signs. We get so comfortable in our confirmation of what we believe the truth is and what we think we are, that when we're presented with an ulterior image, a different image, it can be freaky. That's what this moon is saying to us. And the reason I'm pointing out ulterior images or alternate images, because the sun is in the sky very close to Uranus. And Uranus is the alternative, the surprise component. So what do we do with all this information? Well, one thing is, notice what happened to you this weekend. Was there an insight? Was there anger? Was there hurt? Was there something that sort of brewed up? This was Mother's Day. I know a lot of y'all had some feelings. I'm not wrong. Whether you are mother or the child or the grandmother, some of y'all, this holiday is almost worse than Christmas, in my opinion, for what it can do to the hurt. I was so damaged on Mother's Day because she was so wounded at the lack of support and love that she would be shown on that day. And it just took me, my dad never said, we got to go get your mom a card. He would run out to the local drugstore and go get her card on that day. It's thoughtless, there's no question, but should it be used to define love? And that's a mental health thing for all of us, right? So I know a lot of us went through some feelings, and I think this is the opportunity. It's no coincidence that it was on the Scorpio full moon. And it's no coincidence on what you did to heal it and what you did to work with it. And look at that, I'm begging you. If you got hurt on the holiday, it's not embarrassing. We all get hurt on the holiday. We all get hurt on holidays in some way or another. Not every holiday. But holidays are where like the chances of being hurt are increased tenfold. And I want you to take a minute and see if you could define the hurt. Were you just like unloved? Were you just feeling, you know, you weren't appreciated? Like whatever it was. And then I want you to take that and embody that as a person inside of you who is hurt and who has a right to be hurt. And then all I want you to do is just bring them in. That's all. Pull them in close to you. You can talk about it later. You can analyze it later. You had a right to any feeling that emerged. You had that right. At some point, we're going to say, I had that feeling, and we let it go. And I had this reaction, and we let it go. Just observation. Because let me tell you something. Time will heal whatever happened, but observation will keep preventing it from happening in the future at each successive time, less and less and less. A big lesson of the Scorpio moon. Now, let's talk about, I'm looking at some of the comments. Hold on. Scorpio full moon. Terry, welcome. Inner contradictions revealed. Jupiter will be sextile Chiron on the 18th. Okay, good, good, good. Greatly expand to lift and release old patterns. I don't want to know. I have to know, says Pamela. Exactly. I don't want to know. I have to know. That's the Scorpio thing. You see me? Let me tell you, I have that three planets in Scorpio. It ain't a question. I'm scary when it happens. Whenever a decision has to be made, I'm in like the worst case scenario. I grab and move. That's what I do. I hear a noise. I'm in that room. I don't care. Kill me. But I need to know. It's like, okay. It is true. So Serena saying she's going to be live today at 11 a.m. So she's putting a link in. She's going to be live today. Like, she's going to be doing what I'm doing. So this is exciting. It's starting to happen. So welcome, Serena. Good choice to do it. Good choice to do it under that full moon. Okay. Now, let's get back to, I hid what I was looking at and what you all were looking at. So now, with that in mind, I want you to take a look at the past few days. Just look at the weekend. Look at what's happened. Look at some of the energy. Look at where your decisions were. And we have to identify, was there hurt involved? Did anybody get hurt? Was anybody overjoyed, elevated? Did anybody get defensive? Check out all the things that come up under this particular holiday. And the moon is mother, right? And it's full, but sun is next to Uranus. So in a lot of you, I'm going to guess, may have felt a little abandoned. Okay? Maybe. Just look at it. Some of you might have felt these incredible grand surprises of joy, like surprised. You were surprised. Some of you might have been feeling alone. Like all the things that come through. I'm defining sun and Uranus in that connection. It's going to get louder this week. The sun is moving to Uranus in the sky. Big surprise, big sense of freedom. How many of you are feeling imprisoned in this sense of like, I want to unlock? I mean, I know that's a common theme, but this gets big. We also, on the chart, I was looking at the asteroids, and there is an asteroid that's right next to Saturn too, and it's going to change signs. And it's an asteroid that talks a lot about our sense of, it does sort of talk about imprisonment. In like, are we stuck? Are we feeling stuck? Hi, Fran. Welcome. And I love that we're seeing this sort of collection in Pisces is slowly dissipating into Aries. And now we're seeing Mercury in Taurus, the Sun in Taurus next to Uranus. Like, we can't get a break on Earth, I'm telling you. To feel grounded these days is an act of will. You have to be willing to sort of like force yourself to anchor in a little bit, because the Earth that we have right now, it's Mercury, and that could simply talk about desires for comfort or things, a new kind of security. But it could also talk about like you got stuck somewhere in your brain. You can't unhook this thing that you want or this thing that you would like to see. So We gotta buckle our seatbelts a little bit, and I'm gonna take us sign by sign just to sort of play with it a little bit. If you know your rising sign, it helps, because I'm going to be multiplying this out a little bit by sign, so I can show you the different places that this is taking place. Okay, so let me just see this real quick. Okay, so this is so interesting. The chart that I'm seeing on my screen, I have to check on you every once in a while because it needs to get refreshed. Let's see. There we go. Yeah. Okay. And then I can switch it, make it the big screen again. There we go. And I'll check on you guys too as we do this. Yeah, there we go. Okay. So basically, let's just go through a little bit about how you guys are holding up with this stuff, because I'm going to give you some idea of where this stuff is taking place in your own charts. So give me a sec here. Bum, bum, bum. Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right. I see. I'm going to have to change this. There we go. So this is today's. And now I want to move it. I just want to move it. There we go. Perfect. I got it. I got it figured out. I'm in the business. Okay, so basically I have Aries rising here. And if you're in Aries rising, it looks like for the most part, unless you have a variance in your chart, you might, that this full moon took place in your second and your eighth. So finances, resources, self-esteem, those are the things that got illuminated. Now, Uranus has been in your house of money for a long time. And I'm wondering if you've noticed that you've restructured that. Like, what was the effect of Uranus in your second house? That's resources. That is your money. But if you look closely, Venus in Aries is getting ready to cross, if you're in Aries rising, your rising sign, or come onto your sun sign if you're in Aries sun. Things are starting to feel a little better for you, Aries. I don't know how you have been feeling up to this point, but we're starting to get you getting your fire back, getting your inspiration back. Mars in Leo is sort of helping with that. And if we jump over to the other fire signs, what we can do is basically tell you the same thing. And we'll go to Leo. Leo, your anger factor might be really getting loud, because if you're a Leo rising or a Leo sun, Mars has been there and you're like, I don't know that you want to, how much more you want to take, sitting back and being quiet, but you're ready to take a move. And the Venus in Aries trigger is supporting you in that. And that's your ninth house. So if you're any strong Leo, Leo sun, Leo moon, Leo rising, I want you to see if travel's in the picture for you. Specifically, like important travel, like travel that is either for your mental health, for your well-being. And also this full moon definitely has a look at career, home, mother, father, the parents, any of those issues that are real for you, Leo. This is something to look. Family, familial stuff. Have you been comfortable at home? What's happening? Take a look, just feel it out a little bit, because what's coming your way is the support of fire, the Venus fire, okay? And we'll do the last fire sign, and we'll go to Sagittarius. You Sagittarius, okay. Now Sagittarius, when you all get a little fire, you get a little bigger, like, you, Sagittarius, it's part of the grand trine for you. You're like part of the third leg of the grand trine. So you got this Mars in Leo, you've got this Venus in Aries, you've got this feeling like you're unstoppable. It's a great time to spread your wings, to grow, to believe in the magic that all Sagittarius have, which is they do feel like they're children of Zeus. They do feel like they deserve more than everybody else. They do feel like they have lofty dreams that should be manifest. And it's beautiful, because what's sad is when the opposite of that for Sag, when they are reminded of the everyday life realities, it gets really sad for them. So we're seeing a time now where they're starting to really boon forward, like really get a leap in life. And I'm encouraging you to take it, to like, this is good for you. And if you're feeling that surge, like embrace it, love it. And remember, part of fire and inspiration is to keep your spirituality intact, to keep gratitude intact, to keep joy intact, to keep to spread the fire that you're so good at doing to other people. So keep people encouraged, keep people happy. Avoid hurt feelings, like avoid people, because people get very jealous with Sagittarians. It's just something we all know if you know Sagittarius. Okay, I'm moving it to the earth signs now. We're going to take a look at the Tauruses, Taurus rising, Taurus moon, Taurus sun. Everything for you guys has been like some kind of dream you have no idea how to get out of or into. Some things are working really well, some things aren't. You're like, it can be so completely confusing for you, because everything's in your 12th house. Let me tell you something, clarity is coming. It's slow, like everything Taurus about you, except it's coming. And it really is. There's a manifestation. There's an aha. There's all that stuff is on its way. This full moon was part of it. This full moon was helping you see where you are hurt, where you are dealing with pain, where you are dealing with the joy in your life, but how you've sort of managed to just accept things. And I think we're getting to the point where you're not going to need to do that anymore. So I would look for times here where there's a little bit of push against you right now. Still, there's still that push. It feels like things, it's not as easy. The flow of water doesn't feel like it's, the river doesn't feel like it's taking you with it as easily as you'd like it to. That's going to change. I promise. We're going to see some, like Mercury just went into Taurus. So we're starting to see the awakening. And just in maybe 3 weeks, we're going to see that Venus come into Taurus too to help lift you. But this Sun Uranus thing right now, the biggest thing that you have going, is it going to free you? Like wherever you feel like there's a chain, it's time to get the key and unlock it. So that's a beautiful cycle for you, Taurus. I know it's been tough though. I want you to know. I know it's been tough. And then we're going to look at Virgos. Virgos, it's all about, it's been all about relationship. A lot of this has been about relationships for you. Virgos get hurt really easy because they want to be alone, but they want to be of service, and yet they want to, they have expectations of how it's supposed to all be. Their minds never stop. So in this cycle, I think what we're seeing is you're going to understand it's still heavy about the other people, but there's wisdom here for you with the sun in the ninth house next to Uranus. It's like easy for you to tap into this Uranian sun thing that's going on. And that means sort of getting the overview when you need it. Being able to lift up above the fray, Virgo, and get a little bit out of your brain. I know that's a tough one to do for you, but I do think if you look at other people, if you look at them as a reflection of if you had the dream that this was happening, how would they each represent a part of you? You could bring this together and sew it up pretty nicely. I also think big things in the world connection-wise are good for you. Make big connections because you have the opportunity to do that now with Jupiter in Gemini. And this fabulous Mercury supporting you completely now that it's in Taurus. Sew together a way that this all works. Like see the connecting point of all those things. And I think we're going to be able to see how you're going to make this happen. Pretty amazing. I'm going to check on you guys to see how we're doing. It looks like you're okay, but I also can't see it all. So hold on one sec. Yeah. Oh, of course. There it is. Okay. Yeah, we see. That's perfect. That's good. Yay. Hey, Kathleen. Welcome. Astro Pop. Thank you for coming in. Okay. Let's keep going. So hang in there, Virgo. Get the overview you need, but start seeing. Use your brain to make the synergy. Like, why are these things connected and how does it all work? It's synthesizing is your key word. Okay. Capricorns. Capricorn rising, Capricorn sun, Capricorn moon. Basically, again, we're leaning heavily into the earthy parts that exist in the world, which is the sun and Mercury and Uranus. They are basically giving you this sort of pragmatic approach to life. But I think you're the surprise of the zodiac because everybody thinks Capricorns are the, you know, you're the traditionalists and you're the old fashioned ones. But honestly, you've changed the zodiac, in my opinion. You guys are kind of like the fearless ones. You're the ones who know how to move with the times. You're the ones who take things to another level of reality, almost in a scary way. I think the creativity component for you this cycle is enormous, and I'm really excited for you to leap out and play a little more, to challenge restrictions and rules. Saturn being in your ruling sign in Pisces. I'm sorry, Saturn is your ruling planet. It's in Pisces. It's soon going to go into Aries. And when it does, oh my goodness, you please watch out. You're going to be leading the pack. So don't, like, you're having a little more, hopefully you're having a little more fun now. You're a lot less serious than you used to be. It's going to get even better. And this moon for you, a little bit about like weeding out friends that aren't working for you and bringing in the ones that are. Okay, let's jump into, let's see, we did fire, we did earth, let's do air. Let me back up a minute. Let's just take Aquarius because we're here. Aquarians, we know that Pluto is messing you up in a good way. Pluto's bringing in the truth. It's bringing in your sense of strength and power. You're tapping into things you never knew you could tap into before. You're not as icy as the historic Aquarians are. You're actually coming into a sort of version of yourself where you're looking at the truth a lot easier and a lot more quickly and a lot more willing to do so. Used to be Aquarians just go, nah, I'm out. They have a deeper patience now. And I love that. All of this fixed energy for you means that there's great change in the space. It's changed with people you're close to. It's changed with people that have been in your life for a long, long time. And some of it is like due, overdue, and you're ready for it. And I think it is a buckle your seatbelt time for you. Anything you touch and look for stability, because you are a fixed sign. For as much as Aquarians love to have things change, they are really like, they like the realities to stay. Yours is changing in a big way, like jackhammer style. So flexibility yourself up a little bit and like be like a tree and bend, you know how that is. And then I think we're going to see some changes. I think changes in your home As you can see, the Sun Uranus is at the bottom of the chart. I think you're starting to see, you can see the path you want to take, and I think you're getting supported in taking it. So tap into that passion. Every air sign has passion. Every water sign does. There's no water and earth signs don't have the patent on feelings, desire particularly. So tap into it during this cycle, Aquarius, and I think you're going to see that even though things might be shaken up or you're getting a lot of pressure from all sides, there's a method to this madness that's going to land you cracking open in a good way, like cracking open like an egg with new life. Okay, Geminis, now that we're with the air signs, you've had Jupiter in Gemini. Things have been on your side this whole time. Things have been opened up. If you got rid of the criticism in the critical mind and the darker half of the twin got talked to, you should be enjoying this cycle a little bit. Now, what else I have to say about that is as all the planets are coming into fire with Venus, with Neptune, Saturn's going to go into fire. Oh, it's going to be insane. So the things you're building now, the things you're releasing, the things you're coming to terms with are getting set on fire. And I think this is a really powerful time for you. The Sun Uranus thing has always been in your 12th. So you knew changes were happening all around you. You knew your psyche was doing something. You just weren't exactly sure how and what to do with it. And it always looked like it was happening out here. Well, let me tell you something, people. It's coming home and you're going to feel it. Okay? You know. You know, when I start jerking my body around, I mean it. Okay, so I'm excited for you. This particular full moon for you has been let me just get the exact house placement of it. So fun playing with this thing. That's the whole thing. The full moon has been in the 12th and the 6th. So get your health together. Notice whatever's going on. Fix it. And get ready because you're going to be launching here soon again because this Jupiter's not over with you yet. And we'll be talking more about that, I promise. And Libra, let's bring you into play. Health. You're healing your health in such a big way. Saturn is leaving the sixth house for you. A lot of Libras are finally getting in touch with what it is that's been bugging them, what it is that's not right, body-wise, emotionally, and they're kind of lifting up into it, ready to come out into the world. I think new relationships, new people, all the typical cliche things we say in astrology, as something enters the seventh house and gets to the top of the chart. You've done some amazing introspection. Pluto is on your side. Pluto's going to give you the strength to confront things that you haven't been able to confront. You're part of a grand trine now. You're the third leg of the grand trine of Pluto, Jupiter, and your sun sign. So ideas are flowing. They're coming and they're going to get even better because the sun's going to go into Gemini soon. And I think, listen, pay attention, use that wisdom and that charm you have to bring ideas in to fruition because this is big for you. It also is about money. I think you're going to find yourself comfortable more than you've ever been. So much with Venus being able to, your ruler, express yourself fully. The Jeopardy theme song as the wheel spins. Mark, I have Cancer rising, so the full moons wear me out. Is that a Capricorn thing since we're ruled by the moon? You have Cancer. Yes, you're a ruler. Yeah, absolutely. You're a Cancer rising. You're a Capricorn sun. If you're feeling exhausted by the moons, yeah, it's like all that emotion. But it also is saying if the emotion is wearing you out, it's you're trying to maybe control that emotion a little bit. Like, the observer is so important, and in this case, like watching what we do, watching are we reacting to everything, or can we just say, "Oh, I am," that makes me mad, and be in that madness, or do we feel like we have to do something? Capricorn is the doer, so sometimes you feel like you have to fix it. So take a look at some of the emotional expenditure, and also, if you're tired, that's like the gift. Because it's saying you don't have to do all this. And see if it is, if you're getting engaged too much. Okay, I'm at Scorpio rising right now and Scorpio sun. So let's take a look at this. Pluto has been in Aquarius for a few weeks. And so all Scorpio rising, Scorpio suns, this is your ruler. It's your secondary ruler. It's your primary ruler. It used to before they discovered it, it wasn't your ruler, right? It was I think it was Mars. So now in Aquarius, it's like all Scorpios are starting to feel like some kind of change, like they need that difference to occur, and they're feeling it. And I think Scorpios are getting, they're seeing the crack in the sun. They're seeing the crack in the egg, the light coming in. It's crazy for Scorpio, especially during this full moon, see light coming in and to believe in it. It's optimism for a Scorpio. It's like it's earth shattering because it's optimistic. Scorpios usually aren't. They're usually pessimistics. But to give that little hope, it's happening. Everything is about play, about health, about getting yourself ready for a new era of time and space. And all this Piscean stuff, you're going to be able to play a little more into the wisdom that comes with Scorpio, not into the emotional feelings that come with Scorpio. See if that doesn't shake around for you. Lucky time for you guys. Jupiter in the eighth, money from others, enjoyment, intimacy, play. And then Mars at the top of the chart is sort of saying, you know, take charge. Be proud of what you want. Let's take a look here. Next water sign is Pisces. Pisces, you guys, no doubt, have been transformed. And Saturn is in its last leg, 29 degrees of Pisces. I know you cannot wait. But get ready because it's going to blow up and in such a good way. So all this stuff in the first, who you are to the world, how you've been, how you've seen yourself, it's transformed. It's different. People won't recognize you. And if they haven't already changed, you are ready to be a different kind of Pisces. And it's a Pisces that now understands boundaries, I think, in a way that it takes 29 years for most people to develop. You come in being the sponge. Saturn for 2.5 years has helped you squeeze out what's important to absorb and what isn't. And some people, if you think of people like vitamins, some of them you want to take in and some of them you don't. Okay. Some are water soluble. Some aren't. Some are food based. You definitely have a new way of looking at the world. Neptune leaving Pisces was one of the best things that could have happened to you, honestly. And Saturn is going to be the second thing. Clarity abounds. Just give it a little time to sink in, but you're not the same person. And if people say you've changed, in Joni Mitchell words, yes, I have. Something lost, but something gained. Okay, let's go to Cancer is the last one. My goodness, we're getting it done. Okay, Cancers, so everything top of the chart, Cancer. This is where the water world, you're finally, we're going back into the fiery world. I think it's, and as a Cancer, I can speak to myself about this. There's been a change. There's been a change in the change in how I want to do things, how we're seeing in the world, how you want to be seen in the world. There's a change in your friendships. There's a change in your ideologies and how you take in information and who you want to nurture and how you nurture. There's strength now. There's understanding now. The combination of the nurturing with the gift that we have from the Jupiter and Gemini, crazy, crazy combination of wisdom and guidance. So Jupiter is going to be going into Cancer. So get ready, Cancers. What I would say is start looking at the things you think are holding you back, and let's make the most out of this Jupiter and Cancer cycle that's coming. We get an entire year to grow, to use the Sagittarian gift that Jupiter brings us of inspiration and hope to build something. And I think this could be the year that we set some new markers. Look at me on TV. Who ever thought my ugly face would be up here? Because you know, I don't like it. I'm a Scorpio rising. I don't like being in front of y'all seeing every wart I have. But I'm also, something happened and it went away. I lost that. So that's the kind of thing we have to look forward to. Now, let me take a look at your comments and see how you're doing. Shelley says, hi, my Neptune is in Scorpio. I was packing up my mom's estate and all of that history. Wow. Wow. People from the past, your mom stuff. I love that. We talked about your moon. Terry says, I feel like we should have the Jeopardy wheel as the wheel spinning around. I know the Jeopardy music. Do, 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 do. I love doing this. I love doing this with you all. Okay. Let me take a look here. I'll get myself back on the screen. Big me. There we go. Okay. And then, so I bring the chat to me on a screen. So what you see me looking at is the chat up close here. Gemini rising, getting things in order. Amen. Hey, Barbara, welcome. It's great to have you here. Oh, did it cut off? I hope not, Fran. I hope not. My moon in Taurus at 28. Moon in Taurus at 28. Oh, okay. Woo-hoo. Uranus right on it. Okay, Venus and Gemini, Uranus and Pluto are transiting. Yes, they are, Gwen. I'd like to know how it feels. What's fun to do is if you know anybody with another Taurus moon or a Taurus, ask them what the year has been like. Or somebody 7 years ago, we'd have to go back to get when Uranus was in Aries, if you know Aries moons and the transition they went through. 7 years, oddly, doesn't become that long ago when you're really looking at this stuff to see what happened. Watch me. Okay. Hi, Mark Lori. The LS is here. Cap, Sun, Scorpio rising. Hi, Lori. Thank you. That's so good to have you here. And yes, Cap, Sun, Scorpio rising. Yes, Scorpio risings. There's a lot of us Scorpio risings around. And the thing about it is when Pluto changes signs, wherever you have Scorpio, for example, that changes too. So we're different. We're not the same people because of that shift in a planet. And four of the planets are changing. So who's changing for real on a core level because they're the outer planets? Scorpios? They just did. You see Scorpios, they're different. See if you can nail why. Aquarians, soon, Uranus is going to go into Gemini. They're going to shift, but also Pluto went into Aquarius, so there's that difference. Pisces, that their ruler went from Pisces into Aries. We're going to see some Pisces pushback, which is about time they needed to. They've been locked into sort of like jello for a while, and they get to be freed. And then Capricorns, they've been in Pisces for 2.5 years. Capricorns don't mind that. They know how to deal with that emotional stuff. But boy, they are going to love a little juice in Aries here coming up soon. And that, look how soon. That's like, it's at 29 Pisces now. We'll be talking about all the changes as they come up. Okay, good, Grant. I'm glad I'm still there. Pisces, Sun, Gemini rising, Capricorn, Moon, and Venus. I'm so ready. We are ready for change, and I know that's true. This is the kind of core change, and it's so nice that we get to be a part of it, because think about this, you guys. We've been talking about Pluto changing for 14 years. It's been in Capricorn for 14 years. We saw the political landscape really take a hit on that and change. And now we're seeing this sort of like the Aquarian vision of it. We've been in it for so long. Tell me, it takes a minute to stretch and feel the change and let it all sink in. Like, okay, wait a minute. What's going on? The same with Uranus. 7 years it's been in Taurus. It's going to go into Gemini. All of it this year. 14 years for Neptune. Neptune in, what, Pisces for 14 years with Pluto, and it changed. How are we not going to be different? How are we not going to know that that was an old era? Like the past is going to feel like a very far past. So this moon today, this full moon, which is happening in an hour, right? It's at 9, it's at, 10 a.m. Pacific, 9:56 Pacific. Okay, so do your math. 11 on the mountain time, and then I guess it's 1 o'clock on the East Coast. That, so we're building to that lightness. At that moment, do a minute of release. Because why am I saying release? Because the moon is going to be at its fattest point. And at the moment of the full moon, it starts losing light. Okay, and it releases. And in that release, we fill up. Take in all the gratitude that you can possibly take in. Don't be specific. Just take in the sense of gratitude. And then release barriers and hurts and wounds. And you don't have to, no one's asking you to say you had no right to be hurt or to, you have to forgive in the sense of like, I look at that person and now love them. No, if it was a person or an event. It's basically the grievance of it you're releasing for yourself, so your kid can breathe a little bit. You can decide later what to do with the actual event or the person or the thing, but it's releasing the grievance of it. So as you're walking, like when I walk, I told you last week, I walk and all of a sudden this thought that happened 15 years ago is back, and I'm like living it, and I'm like laughing, going, oh my God, okay, I told the boys, we got to keep walking because this is coming up again. And we walk until it's a little clearer. Okay. It's not like, and I can't walk very fast with them. So it's not like me, they have to smell everything. So, you know, but we're out until my head clears, because the goal isn't to like suddenly love everybody. It's to create enough space on the inside that we can let some wisdom fill in. And it is about a loving connection with source, or however you define that, but it's about having a moment where you can free up some of the need for the mind to get mean and nasty and relive it and tell you how bad everybody is and all that. It's like letting go of that. How we do it. Okay. 5 minutes left. I'm going to check in on Facebook real quick. If you guys have any questions or anything you need me to go through, let me know. Okay, I think people have learned, I guess, let me see, there's no Facebook comments, so I think we're going to be cutting off Facebook for me soon. So can I go over this again? Serena put in a link for her show. Let me see, Serena, if you're listening, you can put it in again, because she's coming up. Kat is next, and Kat's going to be doing this too. Kat is going to be doing YouTube. She's got a busy week ahead. And then she and Serena are working on bringing her live. And then it's Lori Love after Kat. And then it's Serena. And then Serena is going to be here, but she's going to be at her own address. She'll put it up again for us. And I think she put it in the very beginning. Let me find it here. She said she put it, but I didn't necessarily see the link. And I'm going to have to find that. But we will find it. Hold on. Mm-mm-mm. And I don't, you know, why doesn't it come up again when I'm scrolling down? Like I'm looking for Serena's link. Oh, there it is. I see. Life's Journey, Serena's live stream link. Here it is. So Serena, it's Life's Journey with Serena. It says live stream link. I don't see the link. Is it? I wonder if it's something's preventing that from showing up. Doesn't matter, you guys. We will get it to you. Serena, you can also post that on Facebook. But Life's Journey with Serena. Okay, on YouTube, you can find it. Unless we get to support Serena going live today, that would be really fun. Okay, the week ahead, I'll just go over this really quick with you. This is the thing that I get from John, and it is basically, with the exception of the moon, we have a normal winter-y moon cycle. So the full moon today, Sag tomorrow, Capricorn on Thursday and Friday. So whatever you're like, you go around your chart, when the moon hits that 12th house, like if you're a Sag rising, if you're an Aquarius rising, that Capricorn moon is going to be in your 12th. So you might feel weird on those days. If you're, say for example, Scorpio rising, then it's going to be Libra in the 12th, but we already passed that. So, Sag rising when the moon's in Scorpio, you might feel weird. Like check those out because it's in the 12th house. Like find out what house that moon is in for you. And it's going to be Scorpio until tomorrow, then Sag until Thursday, then Capricorn until Saturday, and then Aquarius. If you know those areas of your chart, check them out. See how they do. I have no other questions happening. Thank you, Lynn, so much. She says, this has been such an inspiring conversation. So many juicy things to integrate and contact. You're so kind. You really are. Thank you guys again for joining me. I love that we're doing this. I love that it's getting less and less scary and more about the content and less about the visual. Thanks for joining me on YouTube. If today, please remember 1-2-day, which only happens once a month at 1-2-listen.com. Go get the support and love of some of the greatest people that I know in the helping industry. Kathleen Nicholson is next, doing readings for you in the room. She's incredible, and you know her, so I don't have to do much introduction there. Thank you for joining me, you guys. I am going to hit the road.